Daniel chapter 7, verses 6 through 8. Third, the third empire represented in Daniel 7 is the Greco-Macedonian Empire of Alexander the Great. After this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. Daniel chapter 7, verse 6. Alexander's empire was very short-lived, becoming divided almost immediately upon his death. It was an empire built entirely on the personality of one man. It could not survive his passing. The history of this empire is not given much place in the record of the scripture, nor will we give it much place here. We will, however, take time to consider the nature of the leopard, for it has an application to the fourth beast. Concerning the four wings of the leopard-like beast, which Daniel saw, Alexander had four great generals whose skill in battle helped his armies to fly swiftly toward success. The wings of a fowl mentioned here are certainly not the eagle's wings of the first beast. Being further down the scale of Gentile rule, Alexander did not reach the heights to which Nebuchadnezzar attained. The four heads would seem to speak of the leadership of Alexander's generals when they divided the empire after his death. What is the foremost characteristic of the leopard as a beast of prey? Their horses also are swifter than the leopard's. Habakkuk 1:8. That passage does not refer to Alexander's army, but it does refer to one of the most notable qualities of the leopard. It is swift. From the first battle which he fought in Persian territory to the final battle which won him the throne of an empire, Alexander's war took only 3 years. Then, too, the leopard is also known for lying in wait for his prey. He takes up an ambush and awaits just the right time and opportunity. When he decides that the time has come to move, he does so with terrible swiftness. The Lord said to Hosea, "As a leopard by the way will I observe them." Hosea 13, verse 7. He spoke concerning himself as he held back his judgment until the proper time. Finally, the Lord uses the leopard as a figure of that which will not change its nature. The Lord said to the people of Judah, "Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil." Jeremiah 13:23. Of course, the Lord can change the hearts of men, but it takes a great miracle and cannot be accomplished by the human will. There were occasions of godliness and respect toward Jehovah in the history of the Babylonian and Medo-Persian empires. Nebuchadnezzar and Darius are the great examples of this. The hearts of these men were moved by the reality of what was revealed to them by the power of God. Alexander only worsened as he grew more powerful, finally imagining that he himself was a god. The heirs to his divided empire did not improve. Begun in pride, self-will, and hardness of heart, the leopard empire never changed. Fourth, the description of the fourth beast is quite sketchy here. "After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Daniel 7, verse 7. It is a depiction of the Roman Empire, which was the next great power to enter the world scene. In considering the prophecies of this in Daniel 8, remember two things concerning the Roman Empire. 1. No system of government has ever truly replaced it. No far-flung and powerful empire has ever arisen to succeed Rome in its place at the head of world government. 2. The power and influence of Rome have never been successfully and completely brought to an end. It has been weakened. Its place in the world scheme has been uncertain at times. It has had to find different religious means to exercise its power, but Rome survives as a center of international power today. Thus, this last beast is a mystery. It bespeaks a continuing system of power which will exist and exercise increasing power in the time of the end. It is the Roman Empire, but most particularly, It is the revived Roman Empire which has not yet appeared. This will be the system which is destroyed by Jesus Christ at his coming in power. Before we look at the horns of the beast, let us consider its general character. To get a more detailed description, we can go to Revelation 13, verses 1 and 2. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the names of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. The dragon is, of course, Satan, see Revelation 12:9 and 20, verse 2. Quite clearly, John had a vision of the last of the four beasts which Daniel saw. The two descriptions match exactly, except that John was moved by the Spirit to give more detail. The beast, or empire, shows characteristics of each of those which preceded it. It will take the best of each and will therefore be very wicked indeed. The one characteristic which brings true greatness is a singleness of heart toward God. This is true of kingdoms as well as individuals. Relying on human learning, methods, and experience is degrading no matter how wise and successful in the short term. It is by following and combining the success patterns of those which preceded it that the fourth beast will gain power. These things will also cause its downfall before the righteous Christ. Like the leopard, this government will seize power swiftly. No move will be made until the exact moment which promises the best chance for success. It will be entirely satanic in its character, and like the leopard, will not change its spots. Remember, incidentally, that the leopard spots are the things which contribute the most to the outward beauty and attractiveness of this murderous beast. The spot, speaking of the unchanging evil of this empire, will not be the thing which reveals its character. The leopard spots actually help conceal it until it is ready to destroy. Like the bear, this beast will have power both to seize and to hold what it desires. The claws of a bear are awful weapons. He can easily disembowel his prey with one deliberate move. The strength of a bear is such that he can break the neck of another animal with a single blow. Most terrible of all, the bear's paws can hold in a mighty embrace while the bear begins to devour its still living victim in its own slow, deliberate manner. According to Daniel 7:19, his nails are to be of brass. However hard it may be for some to accept, much less understand, God will use this terrible government creature to bring judgment upon this rebellious, ungodly world. Like the lion, the beast will be able to crush the resistance out of those whom it seizes in its mouth. The lion is said to kill by suffocation more than by any other means. He grips his prey by the neck, shaking his head and tightening his grip until all struggling ceases. If the victim is fortunate, the bite will penetrate the spinal cord and kill quickly. If not, the windpipe is crushed and death comes in an agonized, impossible struggle to draw in one last breath of air. Daniel 7, verses 7 and 19 tell us that his teeth are of iron. This remorseless crushing of all resistance will be through the unsoftened display of the most merciless kind of raw, brutal governmental power. Daniel saw this kingdom as dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, devouring, breaking in pieces, and stamping the residue into uselessness. Daniel 7, verse 7. What this beast cannot consume and hold in its awful sway, it will utterly destroy, seemingly determined that none other shall possess what it has not the capacity to take in itself. What will be the cause for this senseless destruction? Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea! For the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Revelation 12:12. When our defeated foe is at last forced into seeing that his hope of victory over the Almighty has been vain, his rage will extend to the bounds of his power. Daniel 7:8 tells us that the horns of the last beast are kings who shall arise. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. Another little horn will arise, overthrowing three of the kings outright, and seeming to dominate the others by the great things which he speaks. Revelation 17:11 tells of him saying, "The beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition." That is, the little horn which arises after the ten, overthrowing three of them, will actually be one of the seven who are not overthrown. The beast that was and is not. What does that mean? "And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded unto death, and his deadly wound was healed." Revelation 13:3. "The beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit." Revelation 11:7. This king will literally die, and very apparently will enter the place of the wicked dead, here called the bottomless pit. Then, by divine permission and by satanic miracle, he will return to life. Thus, he will be one of the seven, will die, and will then regain his former power and more. He is counted twice, for he will ascend to power twice. What are the great things which this little horn will speak? "And he shall speak great words against the Most High." Daniel 7:25a. In Revelation 13:1, we see, "Upon his heads is the name of blasphemy." He will speak blasphemy so powerfully, with such satanic authority, and with such a convincing manifestation of power, that the remaining kings will not resist him. As all the world follows after the resurrected king, he will become the embodiment of the beast, or the empire, as it was with Alexander. The power of the empire will be invested in his person. He will be the beast. He will proclaim himself to be God. Blasphemy indeed. And all the unsaved inhabitants of the earth will believe him. Read again 2 Thessalonians 2:8-11. Those who will refuse to believe the truth and to accept Jesus Christ, God's Son, will believe the lie and accept the Antichrist. Were it not that we must fully know these things in order to give full glory to our conquering Lord, we might prefer to pass over them in favor of the things which immediately follow. If you would like to end your reading with a shout, read Philippians 1:20 as a closing scripture. Thank God we do indeed look for the Christ and not for the Antichrist.